One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 6. Well, we are here. We are back live on Facebook. It is I, the Revolutionary, joined again today by...
The Comrade.
And man, what a week it has been.
It's, we're officially 3 weeks in.
Three. Well, is it three or are we climbing around the bridge to four?
Yeah, I guess we're transitioning into the fourth week. I prefer to remain resistant to the idea that time continues to pass with President Trump in office.
Well, it's going to continue going forward. Well, you know, this week has been interesting. There's been a lot of very, very deep, I mean, very deep concepts going on. I mean, we've had, you know, a couple more executive orders.
I feel like this president has been the most active in getting the layman involved in congressional law.
Yeah.
There are more people reading on congressional law. That Wikipedia page has probably seen more traffic in the last month than in the history of Wikipedia.
Well, I posted a few things up this week, and I had people sending me notes asking questions like, well, you know, this president is not the only president to ever have done this. And I'm like, well, okay, that's not true, but the speed at which it's happening.
I feel like the people making that argument are losing the context by which it's being done.
True.
And as you said as well, the time frame. So there may be precedent, but it's the manner in which that precedent occurred.
Yeah,
as opposed to the basically hip shooting that we have right now.
Right, and there's no fact checking going on at all. The facts are alternative facts, and they're being spread faster and faster. It's insane.
There's so little. Well, we still have the issue that we've been discussing every week so far, which is the large media sources still have a need to garner clicks by being the first to publish.
Right.
Never mind the fact that we haven't verified, we still don't know what the truth is, we don't take that step back and try to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, reflection doesn't occur any longer.
Well, what do editors do anymore?
That's a good
honestly,
question.
Honestly, do they even function as an editor, or is that just a title by name only?
Yeah, I think at this point I think we're on the list of that editing is optional.
It's optional. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Well, before we really get rolling with this, I like to frequent Reddit, being the millennial that I am. I found this really amazing quote.
Reddit's so confusing.
There's so much information. There's just so much text.
There is.
It's hard to filter what's really worth reading.
Right.
But every now and again, you stumble on some gold, if I may.
Oh, it is gold.
A Reddit user, James Ignatius 27, said this about our president. He is a poor man's idea of a rich man, a stupid man's idea of a smart man, and a weak man's idea of a strong man. And I feel like that's just so... perfect. It's,
I mean,
so
a weak
poignant.
Man's idea of a strong man kind of covers a lot of the narcissistic personality disorder problems that if you look at it from the outside world, you know, the definition of that disorder is incredible. You know, it basically describes our current president to a T.
It's uncanny, honestly. There's the common wisdom that anybody who seeks positions of such extreme power have some level of narcissism, and I don't really want to argue with that point. I think they're kind of right. But I don't think there's ever been anybody who so expertly exemplifies that disorder.
I'll read it to you from the Mayo Clinic. This is a great definition. It says, narcissistic personality disorder is a mental disorder in which people have an inflated sense of their own importance, deep need for admiration, and a lack of empathy for others.
It's that second line, really, that kind of nails it.
But behind this mask of ultra-confidence lies a fragile self-esteem that is vulnerable to the slightest criticism. So this week, criticism about his daughter was met with an illegal amount of, well, so, well, unethical at the very least, but it's being looked at as
that
illegal.
That one really kills me. It yeah. technically violates ethics law, right. which I think is an odd phrase because
ethics are law,
right. you know. But regardless, there's a federal guideline for ethics,
right.
That was directly violated.
Yeah, I mean, you cannot promote your products or your business, and
a federal employee,
right.
may and, not promote.
Well, he did himself.
Yeah.
He said that it's terrible what Nordstrom did to Ivanka.
Right.
So he called out a company. By the way, Nordstrom is doing even better this week.
Yeah, their stocks increased ever so slightly following that tweet.
So our president is creating riches and wealth for our companies here in the United States.
He's
Thank
bringing
you.
Jobs back to the United
he
States.
He is. One well company done. At a time.
One tweet at it's a well and done President Trump.
Well done. So it is very important to think about this, you know, when you come down to it, is that then she's being called the mouthpiece of the administration, Kellyanne
Ms. Conway.
Yeah. Yes, Kellyanne Conway.
That's appropriate.
Yeah. And so she came out and then she on Fox and Friends said, you should buy from Nordstrom. That was the violation.
No, she didn't say you should buy from Nordstrom. She said you should buy Ivanka Trump's product.
That's right. You should buy Ivanka Trump's product. That's right. Which is a definite violation.
Oh,
because the president had said that he had separated his business holdings from everyone else. But
he claimed.
And there are plenty of people who are coming out saying, well, if your daughter was selling Girl Scout cookies and you came into the office, you would go to people and say, buy my daughter's Girl Scout cookies. That's not a valid at all
analogy, but it's still I think it illustrates the point well, regardless of how good of an intent there is behind it, there is still an ethical guideline that's being violated,
right?
And that's seriously concerning.
It is very concerning. And then, you know, that leads into that idea that narcissistic narcissistic personality
I like
disorder
it.
Because it's this mask of ultra confidence. So as soon as someone attacks him, that mask falls apart. It's fake news.
Well, it's fake news.
It's fake news. They're getting elite. I mean, they're obviously increasing the New York Times, the failing New York Times, as our president is known to call it, is increasing their click rate so that their advertisers, you know, have a better click rate by buying it from China. And there's an article that the comrade brought to me this week that has all kinds of beautiful graphs.
Oh yeah.
That means absolutely nothing.
It's a single article that sources a lot of data from Alexa rankings, which I will admit I don't totally understand. But
right. If you're playing this on your home stereo, Alexa, Alexa, Alexa just went off and she's trying to play music. There we go. Oh, hold on.
It worked.
It did work.
Anyway.
Hold on. Alexa, stop. Damn it. Having one of those echoes is a damn violation of my personal space.
So this, I'm going to call it a blog because I can't call it a legitimate source of news.
No.
This blog decided to make a post using various pretty graphs to illustrate that apparently the New York Times and The Guardian and Washington Post are buying clicks from China. They lay out a seemingly convincing argument. However, I did some cursory searches throughout the web, and not a single, even competitor, even direct competitors of these publications, even gave this a word of support or corroboration. There's no evidence that this is actually true. Maybe it's just that when people aren't happy with the current administration, they decide to become more informed and more active.
But one problem here is because he believes this is true, and because, you know, in my layman's knowledge of psychology, a degree, he has an inflated sense of self-importance. Yes, he is the president of the United States. I have never said he is not the president of the United States. Stop telling me he's the president of the United States.
We understand
know it.
We've he
got
won.
It. He won.
We accept this fact.
I'm understanding this.
That's why we always ensure that we give him the proper title.
That's right. If we don't give him the honorarium, we have to shotgun a beer. Please feel free to join us at home. All right. So
it's a wonderful game.
It is a wonderful game. And so since he has this inflated idea and he has this need for admiration, he then finds this one article.
And he uses this as basically the entire straw man argument.
That is, that this is, that the fake New York Times is doing this.
Right.
With no support at all. So if he's doing that, how can we trust any of his other decision making?
Honestly, it's not even the decision making. I would argue that it's more basic than that. We have the man who sits in the highest chair in the most powerful country in the world,
right?
With literally all of the NSA and the CIA and the FBI's databases at his whim.
Right.
He can literally call somebody and say, "Tell me everything about this topic," and he's going with Fox News and he's going with these weird deep web blogs and with no real verifiable information.
No.
And we're tweeting craziness instead of actual verifiable fact.
And still tweeting on two different accounts.
Only one of which is archived.
Only one of which is being archived. And he's only retweeting some of his tweets to the other one, or he or his staff.
I was going to say his staff might be. Yeah.
You know, and it's innocuous most of the time, but sometimes it's not. Okay, so let's understand that.
And I'm going to make a transition here.
Sure, of course.
In following with his tweeting patterns and his social media, he recently made a statement that there has been a lot of terrorist attacks that the media have been underreporting. He made this statement on Twitter. So there have been a number of different media outlets that have... I don't know the word.
Picked it up?
No, they conflicted with his statement.
Oh, basically. Absolutely.
They provided data.
Well, they fact-checked him.
They fact-checked his own statement with their own archives, mind you. The BBC is one of my favorite. They listed every single article they made since 2014 regarding any terror attack.
Right.
Whether it be the United States or abroad, they archived every single one. But I think my personal favorite is he also mentioned the Pulse massacre.
He did.
As something that was underreported.
That was not underreported. I mean, just because he didn't pay attention to it because it hit our LGBT community and a community of Latino individuals, you know, the Hispanic community, the gay community, all the communities that it hit. Maybe it just didn't pop up on his radar because Steve Bannon didn't figure that it was something that, you know, those are those people. We don't have to worry about those people. So it's not on my radar. It's underreported.
Well, I mean, as far as Steve Bannon concerned, you might as well have seen it as, I'm not going to say that. Never mind. that is a dangerous statement to make.
I hope Rosie O'Donnell does it well on Saturday Night Live this week. Oh, I saw a beautiful picture. She changed her Twitter profile picture a picture of Steve Bannon, but with her face over it.
Perfect.
And so they might be doing the makeup this weekend.
That would be
putting
wonderful.
Rosie as, because we know no one else but Rosie O'Donnell could the president, who almost did it.
You did?
Almost did it. Could the president hate more? I don't know anyone he hates more.
Hillary?
No, I don't think he hates her more.
he did give her money.
He sued Rosie O'Donnell several times. Yes.
Excellent.
And got in Twitter wars with her.
I was never a huge fan of Rosie O'Donnell.
Well,
but
you don't have to be. But
keep up the good work.
Keep up the good work. Congratulations. Make it happen.
Keep it up.
I'll drink to that.
So actually I'm going to use Steve Bannon as another transition here because I've done quite a lot of research this week.
Yeah.
Can we just take
a moment and go back to the terror list?
Let's
were some very big holes in this terror list that were not handled. Timothy McVeigh, of course, that's an old one, but all of the domestic terror was not covered.
That's right. The shooting in Quebec.
The Quebec shooting in a mosque, which was done by a white supremacist that supports the president.
A young privileged white man.
Yes, yes.
Decided it was a good idea to express his political opinion by shooting up a mosque.
Yes.
I believe he killed six people.
Killed six people and injured eight.
Injured eight more.
Yeah. Injured eight more. So that's not good.
An unrelated debate, but Canada is apparently supposed to be mostly gun-free. So good job there, Canada.
Hey, you know what I got to say there? We all know about this, right? If you take guns away from people, only criminals have guns. Yeah, because the lawful people won't have them.
Well, yeah, the law-abiding citizens are the ones that really are punished by the law.
Sure,
never
it always is.
Gangbangers and whatever else. Yeah.
Well, we promised to talk about guns and terrorism this week.
We did promise to talk about that. So
guns and terrorism.
Terrorism's good.
They left that off. They did a blinding number of misspellings. They misspelled attack many times. Attacker and attack.
Very good.
Several times.
Well, they're saving characters on the Twitter.
It wasn't done through Twitter, comrade. It was done through a document that was held up and thrust into the public eye, which should have been spell checked.
It should have been.
Just a spell check.
Well, remember, editors don't have to do any work anymore.
Yeah. I keep forgetting there's not such a thing
as editing anymore. Yeah. Yeah. So I have to admit, I did not do the research on it as I should have done.
That's okay.
I believe it's a commonly understood fact at this point that the vast majority of terrorist actions in this country since 9/11
are homegrown.
Have been homegrown, white, largely Christian men perpetrating these things on various minorities.
Oh, yes.
I don't see the outrage there.
Well, as part of the new program in terrorism, in going out for terrorism, our fine president and his advisors have decided that domestic terrorism is no longer a concern.
Right. They've given up completely on the investigation.
They're only going to investigate, and all active investigations are now canceled. So, hey, white supremacists, you got it now.
Way to go.
Crazy paramilitary groups, you guys are good. Do what you'd like. Crazy, weird Christian groups that are having extra wives and molesting children, you're good. Oh, that's Catholic Church.
No, it's...
No, that's kidding. I hope for cars and letters on that one, actually.
The revolutionaries get jokes.
Oh, but the point is all of these...
They're fine. They're off the hook.
They're off the hook. And no longer do we need any of that.
I just like the fact that there has been, and Steve Spicer said this. I keep getting his name wrong. I'm pretty sure that's right.
It's Spicer.
Spicer. He made, in regards to the hold on immigration, he said that their attempts are to be preventative about terrorist attacks in this country. And when you stop investigation into domestic sources of terrorism, which is where the vast majority of our attacks have come, I feel like you're not really following through with the promise you've made to the American people at this point. But it's generally crazy. I don't know if this really is applicable or not, but in regards to the idea of terrorism security in this country,
right?
The Department of Homeland Security recently released a report that was publicized by Reuters about the wall on the Mexican border, which gives me some fun numbers.
The wall.
The wall. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
To the wall.
No, not Pink Floyd.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Oh, well. I'll drink to that anyway.
Oh, it's the Mexican wall.
Mm.
We don't have tequila this week. We need a tequila sponsor.
Tequila sponsor would be good.
Tequila sponsor, a lime sponsor, possibly an avocado sponsor for when the cost of avocados and limes
would be good
go up
as well.
Jalapenos. No, we grow jalapenos here in the state of Florida.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, so we got some hard numbers on our wall to the borders in the south. Allegedly, it's going to take approximately 3.5 years to build this wall.
Well, that's quick. I'm sure there will be no overruns on that.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be fine.
He's very efficient. He's a businessman.
He's a businessman. He gets things done on time and under budget.
On time and under budget.
That's right.
Although many of his building contracts were in receivership and failed.
It is interesting to take notice of the fact that it's easy to keep things under budget when you don't pay your subcontractors.
It is. It's very easy to keep things under budget when you don't pay anybody on time ever.
You don't have to pay anybody.
Yeah.
Regardless, this is the plan to build the wall is going to take roughly the rest of his presidency. I mean, term. Hmm. And it's expected to cost $21.5 billion with a B.
Whoa. $21.5 billion. Hold on. Billion. Let me think about this for a second. The gross domestic product of Iceland is $19.37 billion.
For annually,
right? Yeah.
So we're going to spend
the gross domestic product of Iceland plus $1.5 billion.
Very good.
No, 2.5. I did 3.5, 19, 21. 2.5 billion.
$2.5 billion.
Yeah, $2.5 billion.
Or as it relates to the taxpaying Americans.
Oh, taxpaying Americans.
Of which there are approximately 122 million.
Okay.
We are each on the hook for a minimum of $60 per year for the next 3.5 years.
So, well, hold on. Joey Paycheck probably won't have a problem with $60 per year.
$60 a year?
Comrade. $60 a year.
I see. A lot of people really enjoy their Netflix.
That's true.
And
Netflix is $10 a month,
so
approximately.
That's 2 years of Netflix. No, sorry. That's half your year.
That's half a year of Netflix.
So, yeah, you just have to cancel half of your Netflix subscription for the year.
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, well, I mean, but, you know, but some people will probably pay more, right? Because... Some,
yeah, correct. I mean, it's not a one-for-one.
No.
I mean, some people pay more taxes, some people pay less.
Of course, but, of course.
In the interests of simple math.
Right, right. Simple math. Yeah, 122 million people right. into 21 point... Dear Lord, that's a huge number.
That's 21. A giant number. $21.5 billion. I mean, I really wish we had, you know, social programs and local support groups that really could use that money better than...
Someone broke it out. I saw something somewhere, and it was a group of numbers, and I don't have them. I didn't bookmark. I did bookmark them somewhere, but yeah. Dear Lord, I bookmarked so much stuff in a day looking at our current administration. It becomes a blur. But someone broke it out on how little money it takes to cover 100% of Veterans Affairs, 100%
NPR and a couple of other people have
that's
listed
what, who is what.
Basically, the way it works is our president has decided to help fix our budget by cutting things like the National Endowment for the Arts.
Yes, and, which is 0.001 of the budget.
And basically, it works out to something like $1 a year here, $3 a year there. Like, literally, it's pennies.
Oh, it's pennies on the dollar.
On the dollar for pennies the budget. The like, he's not fixing anything by doing this.
No.
What I would love to see, as he seemed to have started doing and then immediately stopped doing after a single meeting, was an audit of the DOD contractors, like Lockheed Martin and Boeing and things like that.
Right.
He started off in that idea and then just kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So I'm not super happy about that. The wall kind of brings up, I think, a really fun issue, which is allegedly our neighbors to the south are paying for it.
Well, they're supposed to pay for it. We're gonna make sure that they pay for it. I've seen it many, many times.
Yes,
from our president, he has said they are paying for the wall
in no uncertain terms. After Congress has paid for the wall,
After Congress pays for the wall, Mexico's going to pay for the wall.
That's right. So I kind of thought this one through. During his campaign, the president claimed a $49 billion trade deficit with Mexico, which is a big, scary number. And
that is a big,
really
scary
number.
$49 billion, that you could pay for the wall over twice.
Twice, you're right. We could have two walls.
We could have two walls.
Or a wall and a half if we include our neighbors to the north.
No. Yeah, we could do a wall. We could do a wall from over Mexico. Then we could do half a wall.
Yeah,
half as high.
Half as high. There we go.
Half as high.
There we
and
go.
Then it could be twice as long.
Perfect.
Isn't that how that works?
Yeah. Anyway,
I don't think that's how it works, by the way.
So he touted this number over and over and over again, and it sounds big. But the funny thing about what a trade deficit actually is, to my understanding, not as an economist, to my understanding,
I'm not
basically,
an economist. I don't play well on TV.
Basically, it worked out to something like we bought $270 billion worth of stuff from Mexico. Okay. I'm sorry. We bought $320 billion worth of stuff from Mexico, and they bought $270 billion of stuff from us.
Right.
Never mind the fact that we have a lot of major manufacturing happening in Mexico, and then we then bring those products back here. Ford has a giant plant. Toyota has a plant they're building. There's a lot of manufacturing that we source to Mexico because cheap labor. So our president, in his eternal wisdom, has decided that he's going to basically hamper or otherwise impair the mechanisms of free trade with our second largest goods export neighbor. In the world.
We
send them the second most goods of any country in the world. And he wants to get directly, he wants to get all of his fingers, all of his tiny little fingers directly in that mechanism.
Hey. He has big hands. He's told everybody over and over and over again.
It's all about perspective.
It is, isn't it? And that's that whole narcissistic complex again.
Right back to it. So basically, I don't like the fact that we have a president that has deemed himself more important than maintaining the relatively successful economic market engine that we have working right now.
Right. I mean, it makes no sense at all.
It's just not justifiable.
You know, so if we do build the wall, that's supposed to keep terrorists out, right?
Rapists and drug
dealers. Right. Rapists
guns
and drug dealers.
And gangs.
But what should we do once they get into the country?
No, they can't get in. There's a wall.
Oh, if there's a wall. Well, it's 3 years for the wall. Is there something we can do now?
No, the idea of the wall stops them.
Oh. But what if we did it? There's got to be something else, man. There's got to be something else. Hold on.
There's got to be something we can do.
So let's sign some executive orders.
Oh, very good. Yes.
And support law enforcement.
This is how we do these things.
Right.
We protect our law enforcement officers.
Right. Protect the law enforcement officers so that when the bad people come over from Mexico, you know, the rapists, the drug dealers,
that's
all
right.
those.
Or Syria.
Oh, that's right. Or Syria. Right.
Yeah.
Right. That we
those
will then
evil refugees.
Have the ability to stop them and do something to them.
I mean, it's definitely important that in this day and age where there's so much oversight and scrupulous, and, oh, Lord, I forgot the word.
what? So, surveillance?
Close to it. That's not the word I was looking for. Oversight, I suppose you could say.
Ah.
So much desired oversight into the actions of our law enforcement officers that maybe we should take that step to further protect them.
Right. I mean, there's so much. I mean, right now, you know, we have entire movements that are saying
Blue Lives Matter.
That Blue Lives Matter, which was a direct strike at Black Lives Matter.
Of course. I remember seeing a comment on one of your own personal Facebook threads earlier this week, which basically said that a lot of law enforcement officers feel crippled in their ability to perform their job as a safety measure in communities because they're so worried about career-ending actions against them.
Right.
From social justice warriors.
Yeah. Exactly. Like us. Of course, we are social justice warriors, according to these people. Drives me absolutely crazy.
So in these efforts, our president and his eternal wisdom activated a couple of executive orders this week.
Three,
in fact.
On the same day, that was yesterday, one of them is to enforce, and what was the third one?
The other one was line of succession.
Oh, that's right.
For the Secretary of State, I believe, which is standard practice.
That's standard practice.
So we tried to find something lacking there. We tried to find some level of conspiracy, and to be totally honest—
Hey, guess what?
It's legit.
He did it. President Obama did it. George W. Bush did it. Bill Clinton did it. Everybody's done it. So anybody who's getting up in arms about that online, stop it. There's no reason to get upset about the change in succession. It's just saying who takes over for the attorney general. If the attorney general, the assistant attorney general, and like the entire succession
there's
of
like five
attorney
steps
generals,
we have to get to before it actually happens.
Right. You have to do a lot of, there's got to be a lot of work done in order to make this trigger. Okay. So we're talking about the, what's the ABC TV show? It's a line of succession. What's his name?
Was it Last Man Standing?
Designated Survivor. It's
one.
A designated survivor scenario to make
but
this happen.
But for the attorney general.
But for the attorney general, yeah. So don't worry about this one. So we're all okay. Everything's fine with that.
So there was a couple. I did a deep dive into the other of the executive orders. This particular one titled "Preventing Violence." I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's really long. But
we'll post a link.
Yeah, we'll give links. But basically, it's preventing violence against law enforcement officers from the federal to the local level. So there's a couple sections, and I got some quotes directly from this executive order because I feel that they're very telling for the direction our president wants to take this entire term.
So before we get into the actual meat of this, I posted up my feelings about this on my personal Facebook. I then got a very big discussion occurring between several people calling me out for various reasons. Some people, I mean, these snowflakes on the conservative side are ridiculous to me. They can't take, again, I think they all suffer from this narcissistic complex also.
Oh, I agree.
Because the minute you say, hey, look, I feel that this violates, that this could be used to violate the First Amendment. This could be used to violate the Sixth Amendment. Okay. This could be used to stop people from being able to have a fair trial, and this could stop people from being able to have free speech. And immediately it said, instead of, well, I can see your point. It's, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about.
Do your research. That's my favorite one.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, you have to understand police officers are out there every day. They're worried about losing their jobs because someone's going to film them out of context. On the One Man Revolution blog podcast page, I put an out of context piece of video of a PhD candidate who was arrested, well, thrown to the ground. I don't know what the final outcome of it was because I can't find any more information on it. But he was getting into his vehicle, a Jaguar, actually.
A Jaguar. Well, he must have left his wallet inside.
And he was, well, and they, he's, he something was, he was like fixing something on the roof, and then he got in the vehicle. Someone called in the 911 call.
Because he was in his vehicle.
Because he was getting into this vehicle, and they thought he was stealing the car. And
did
the police immediately
rolled
up. Did
this have something to do with the complexion of his skin?
Hold on. So he was very well-spoken. I love using those terms. That's one of my favorite terms that's used for during this process. Oh, he was so very well-spoken. Which just means, oh, he didn't talk the way I thought he was going to
right.
talk. You know,
he didn't meet my normal social expectations.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the police officers roll up, and it's like three cars. I mean, you can tell there's a lot of police officers. It's all off a dash cam, and they run up on him and they go, get out of the, they're just like, get out of your car. It's on the, over the light speaker. He gets out of the car, hands up,
mm-hmm.
hands up.
Yeah.
Walks out, and they say, get on the ground. And he's like, what am I being charged with? And they tackle him to the ground.
Oh, very good. He was resisting arrest.
And then, hold on, while he's on the ground, the first thing you hear without anything else, like, I'm sorry, sir, I'm, you know, it's like, comply, you stop resisting.
Right.
It's like, that's the new script.
Well, that's the hot button.
Yeah.
That's the hot phrase you got to say.
Right.
And then everything you do following is now okay. Right.
And that's what I see as the problem to these executive orders.
I totally agree. When a law is written, or an executive order in this case, is
right.
written in such a way as to be flexible and helps in the interpretation to defend our law enforcement instead of holding them accountable for their actions, we have some serious issues. Good example. And I have the sections and everything highlighted. You can go look this up on the whitehouse.gov webpage. I have the link. We can post that if you'd like. It's pretty easy to find. So this is the Preventing Violence Against Law Enforcement Officers Executive Order.
Right.
Section 1, subsection C reads, and I'm quoting with some change here to make it easier to read. They will pursue legislation that will define new federal crimes and increase penalties for existing federal crimes in order to prevent violence against law enforcement officers. So
what's a new crime?
I'm really curious to see how they define that and what the extent of that is, because I feel like there's already a lot of laws that dictate what we can and can't do,
right?
In interaction with normal human beings, much less law enforcement officers. And
I didn't finish. Mm. Oh, the finishing that story.
Oh, sorry.
Because this is great. I mean, I like the new crime. So
new crime.
The new crime could just be you just resisted. Whatever the resistance is.
Resisting arrest is already a charge.
It is a charge, but you now resisted with violence.
That's already a charge as well.
I know it is, but now that falls under this to protect the police officer.
Under the new laws of increased penalties.
Yeah, increased penalty.
For violating that.
So the guy's laying on the ground.
Right.
They finally get him cuffed.
Mm-hmm.
The officer goes on his radio, and this is in full view of the camera, and it's posted up on the page. So don't take my word for it. Go watch it.
Go watch
the video on that video. And the guy goes, oh, hey, we got the 911 lady. He goes, okay, lady, you know, what's going on? And she goes, well, I didn't want a racial profile, but, and the officer had already gotten, while the man's on the ground, confirmation that it was his vehicle. You hear it over the radio. And actually they blasted out his address on the
oh,
footage.
Oh, good.
You know,
but during the altercation, they received confirmation it was his vehicle.
During the altercation, that was his vehicle. And the officer says, well, he has other problems besides that now. So by him, he's getting into his own vehicle. The officers take him out of his vehicle, knock him to the ground and whatever. Now he's under arrest for resisting arrest when someone called in because of the complexion of his skin who didn't want a racial profile. Someone stealing a car.
That's amazing.
So this guy, this poor PhD student, by the way, PH fucking D. All right. That means someone going for a doctorate in education.
A well-educated, well-read individual who is trying to improve his life and those of the lives around him.
Right. And he asked the question while he was on the ground. And please watch the video. He asked the question while he was on the ground. What am I being charged with? Because that's the only question. You're violating my civil rights.
Right.
And it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Am I free to go?
Am I free to go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
incredible.
So that's why I have a problem with those lines mm-hmm. in this, the new laws, the new penalties.
Yeah. Increased penalty. You know, the idea of mandatory minimums, as we already experienced in Florida, which is
terrible.
Horrible. I mean, basically what we're doing there is we're taking the judges away from the judiciary process.
Mm-hmm.
We already
removed the editors. Why not remove the judges?
Right. I mean, we're already struggling with the checks and balances system as it is.
Right.
We're just weakening it even further.
Yeah.
In along those lines, the next section two, which I didn't get the subtitles for, but section two, subsection B, I guess the White House is going to coordinate with law enforcement officers at all levels, including other federal agencies, in prosecution of crimes of violence against law enforcement officers in order to advance adequate multi-jurisdiction prosecution efforts.
Ugh.
So there's a lot of words here. There's a lot of big stuff. But yeah. The upshot of all of that basically being whatever happens on any level, whether it be your local police, your local tribal police enforcement officers.
It can be anybody.
Whatever the case may be. In the end, now all police answer to a federal agency.
Right.
So all of you who are you know, screaming and hollering about a limiting of federal oversight, guess what? We just lost that.
Everyone who voted for this president, because he said he was going to limit or reduce the size of government.
Drain the swamp.
He just expanded the role of the federal government.
Specifically the executive aspect, which is the bit that can arrest you.
That's further down.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that one.
It's like an onion. It just keeps building layers, and it's terrifying, frankly.
And he's using this idea of terror to try and do it. This has been done before.
Fascism. It's called fascism. But fascism needs an enemy. It needs those people that you are afraid of as a justification for bringing the rest of them together and banding in basically a nonsensical campaign of violence and discrimination.
But this has been done before by expanding and limiting the use of firearms in this country. The National Firearms Act
of 1934, correct?
Of 1934.
Yeah.
Enacted in 1934 in June 26th, codified... that basically put excise taxes on the manufacture and transfer of certain firearms because of terrorism by organized crime.
Which was
only happening in a small number of cities against a small number of people, but it was getting big press. Same thing that's happening today.
It's the impression. It's like Chicago right now.
Right. So they keep saying those words. They keep saying, you know, well, the president said, we're going to send the feds into Chicago. If you guys don't clean up your act, we're going to send the feds in. This is exactly what he's doing.
This is justifying that
action. It's justifying his actions.
Well, it's not even justifying at this point. It's just giving permission because now he can step in and say, well, the police need help from us. We're going to go ahead and give them that help, whether or not they need it.
Just to keep them safe. We need to keep them safe.
No, it's for the greater good.
Right.
Trust me. I know it's better for you than you do. So in continuation with that, subsection C and D of this executive order. This is all the same executive order, by the way. This is one order.
Right.
Reads that there will be a review of existing federal laws to determine whether those laws are adequate to address the protection and safety of law enforcement officers. And following that review, they will then make recommendations to the president.
Yeah, to just the executive branch, to the president.
Directly.
What does that say to you? To me, that says... King.
Dictator.
I want to say his name. So King President Trump.
We can always go with the illustrious king.
He is the greatest, like, goldenest king.
The most naked emperor.
Yes.
Anyway, so basically we're making...
You put that image in my head now.
Somebody did that Photoshop. It's horrible.
No, it's not even Photoshop. They did the statues in New York before the campaign. Those were all horrible. They looked like melting wax figures. It's terrible. With really tiny penises.
It's like his hands, you know.
No. Hey, stop going back to his hands. You have a problem with his hands. His hands are perfectly normal size. The way he shakes hands with people.
Oh, God.
He shows how important he is.
He knows what he's doing.
Knows exactly what he's doing.
There's an amazing video online. You should find it.
We'll post it.
So recommendations will be made directly to the president for legislation regarding addressing the protection and safety of law enforcement officers, including the definition of new crimes of violence and establishing new mandatory minimum sentences for existing crimes of violence against law enforcement officers.
Which then short circuits the Sixth Amendment.
Yes.
Again, right there it says it goes to a federal court with mandatory minimums. Federal court does not necessarily mean trial by jury.
No. It means just direct sentencing.
Direct sentencing.
Yep.
And mandatory minimum says the judge has no choice, but you struck an officer, you go to one of our president's friends' prisons.
And remember, federal judges are appointed by our president.
Right.
So that means we can have a stacked judicial system
Absolutely.
Of people who are enforcers and yes men to our current president.
Correct. And who knows how many of these private prisons are owned by by his friends who can't make, who can't borrow money.
They can't get good money.
They can't get good money, you know, so they need to be fixed too.
And then my favorite, and this is really the icing on the cake, and I think this one really cements what he's trying to do here, because nothing speaks louder than governmental budget. So section 2, subsection G reads, based on those recommendations following the reviews, the president can then present any changes to grant funding to adequately support and protect law enforcement officers. So basically, if your local jurisdiction is not enforcing the stop and frisk laws that our president will eventually enact,
I'm telling you right now, if
he's going to pull your funding.
Yeah.
If you're,
there's going to be profiling for one reason or another, and it'll be, are you a Muslim?
Well, yeah.
Are you wearing a hijab?
Your turban.
Are you wearing a hijab?
Turban.
No. Turbans are
Sikh.
No, turbans are Sikhs.
No, I know that.
Those are not Muslims.
No, that's my point, though. That's exactly my point, though.
Oh, right.
You're going to have law enforcement officers see a Sikh.
Right.
And go, oh, he's wearing a turban. Let's go get him.
Correct. No.
But that's not it. What we're talking about here is just shooting from the hip, profiling.
Right.
And if your numbers are good, it's gonna be like No Child Left Behind. If your numbers are good, you get more money. If your numbers are bad, you get less money. It is way too easy to make this a corrupt system that feeds on itself. Instead of protecting your rights as a civilian, your civil rights.
Right. The civil rights are revoked at that point.
Exactly.
And so here is a strike at the only document he is supposed to uphold.
The Constitution.
That is the only document. It says
his job.
It's the president's only job is to support the Constitution.
Well, what I like is how many references an executive order must make to the Constitution, because every single one of these things is preceded with in accordance with the Constitution.
Right.
And then they make a statement that is basically directly contradictory to it.
I mean, it blows my mind.
Terrifying.
And see, I had a problem, and the comrade didn't. He thinks that this one, that the enforcement side is not as bad.
It seems fairly straightforward.
It's fairly straightforward. But I have a problem with the policy that's here of who they're saying. And it's strengthen enforcement. And this is Section 2 policy of the, this one's called the Presidential Order on Enforcing Federal Law with Respect to the Transnational Criminal Organizations and Preventing International Trafficking. So this is the one saying that if you can't bring things into our borders, this is isolationist policy.
Yeah.
Okay. So basically, the illegal smuggling and trafficking of humans, drugs, or other substances, wildlife, and weapons. Well, that's great.
Makes sense.
But here's something that I haven't seen in a while. Corruption, cybercrime, fraud, financial crime, and intellectual property theft.
IP theft. Yeah, that's a big one.
Or the illegal concealment or transfer of the proceeds derived from any of those. So anyone who is transferring money offshore and other things like that, that's already covered in so many laws.
Yeah. No.
Why add it here?
It's just another thing that we can stick our fingers in, really.
Yeah.
The way I see it at this point, if President Trump is not finding a way to stick his fingers directly into the enforcement of a law,
right,
he doesn't feel he's doing his job.
Right. And this is the other part. It says maximize the extent to which federal agencies share information, which is great.
Maximize. That's the word I don't like.
Yeah. But that's why I said that's great. That means that they have to change the way that they communicate. So you have to make sure that you talk to every federal agency before you move forward with an operation.
Ideally. Except that we've already established that he doesn't follow through that idea at all.
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. So he doesn't talk to anybody. So although it's very straightforward, and I don't disagree, it is very straightforward. It's expanding the
it's not control. Just expanding federal influence in your day-to-day life. I would argue that it is a deliberate unbalancing of the checks and balances system we have.
Yeah.
Our executive branch is becoming bigger and bigger and more powerful and more powerful. And we have a president that is directly trying to fight back against the judicial system that's designed to be the check to his power.
Right.
And that's horrifying. Frankly.
Yeah.
So-called judge.
Well,
that's the word. That's what you're going
with. But those so-called judges who, by the way, decided that they would give an overall statement instead of a vote. An individual vote. Okay. If you read the statement, it just says, it doesn't say who voted.
Right.
It was unanimous. It was 3-0. But, and which is the only thing that former presidential candidate and former first lady, Hillary Clinton, see, got the honorary on that got one it. Too.
There you go.
All right.
We're getting good at this.
I know we
There's
are.
There's been no shotguns tonight.
I know, no shotguns
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. But but she ended up saying that all she tweeted out, and this is the first thing she said in a long time on her Twitter feed, all she tweeted out was 3-0, saying that the federal judges
have made a decision.
Have made a decision.
Yep.
So currently the ban is not in effect. It's not in effect. So if
and thank God for that.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. There's no reason why it should have been in effect. And it really didn't. I mean, the people that it affected were people that were already in the process of coming here.
Right.
It didn't affect people that were just trying to walk in the country. Hey, I'm just coming here for fun. No, that's not how it works. Okay.
It's a good example of the fact that we have somebody who's pulling the trigger on things he does not understand.
Well, I mean, he admitted wholeheartedly that he didn't realize he was putting Steve Bannon. I don't know what to call Steve because he has a...
We're
going to call him Steve Bannon.
He has no title.
I don't think he has a title. I mean, he's on the Security Council. I mean, Grand Wizard, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, God.
What did they call the Fuhrer? What did they call
Goebbels?
Goebbels was the propagandist of the party. He was the Nazi propagandist.
I don't know what his title was.
So maybe Steve Bannon could be the propagandist.
The propagandist.
Hey, we need a propagandist for the revolution.
Ooh.
Hey, if anybody wants to be the propagandist and come in and be on the third mic, because I've got more mics
got
coming,
mics.
By the way. I've got more mics coming. That would be hilarious.
That would be
the
amazing.
Revolutionary, the comrade, and the propagandist. Yes. That'd be fantastic, and that'd be fun.
I love this.
But he is. That's what his job seems. You know, he does sit on the Security Council, but he, we don't know what his job is.
No, nobody knows what his job is, except for the fact that it seems to violate every single precedent to joining the National Security Council. Never mind the fact that there has been a reported infighting between him and Paul Ryan and a number of other high-level people in the cabinet and the Oval Office.
Losers. All losers.
Well, apparently they're all arguing over who gets to have the president's ear.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Basically, who wants to be the power behind the throne?
Right.
And they're all yelling at each other about it. And Steve Bannon's sitting there in his crazy mask, basically dictating exactly what it is we're going to actually do. Is the power? I legitimately believe he is the power behind the decisions that our current president is making.
Oh, I have no doubt. I have no doubt. And that's why I was so shocked when the president said, "Hey, I did not. I didn't really read that executive order. I just signed it." And then, Steve Bannon is now on there.
It's like he's taking the cliff notes on a 2-page document. Really? You just read the title and you sign it? All right, great. That's great. But we like to propose positive solutions.
Always positive. Tonight
I feel like we've done a lot of bringing to light bad things without offering many solutions. So
here's how we can solve some problems.
Go.
First of all, as a public service announcement, how can we treat and turn the tide of the tweets of President Tweet? So a lot of times our president goes directly to Twitter, and instead of talking to anyone else, he goes straight to Twitter, which takes it directly to millions and millions of people.
And can influence international policy and the stock market.
Oh, absolutely. So here's a short guide in how to turn the president's own Twitter.
From whom?
This is from. Okay, this is an article I read on Recode. And this is Mike Elgin. Okay, Mike Elgin wrote this article back on January 5th.
Okay.
Before the president took office.
Very good.
And he does not use any honorariums at all throughout the entire article. So if I say anything here, I will still do a shotgun. So I'm going to do my best.
Oh, be careful.
I know. It's an effing minefield. So we did agree that the @RealDonaldTrump is okay because it is his Twitter.
No, that's the handle.
It's his
Twitter. We're quoting that. We'll give you quotes.
So the first thing you need to do in order to take over and fix and not necessarily attack, but help to turn the tide on Twitter versus our president is to follow both the @RealDonaldTrump and @POTUS Twitter handles.
I'll warn you now, as someone who's done this,
you're gonna get a lot of notifications.
Your Twitter notifications are gonna be really annoying.
So don't turn on notifications. You can always just go back in and catch up on the what you missed while you were gone.
I would argue for notifications only because it's a reminder that you should be a little more aware.
Correct. So what you need to do is once you're following, here's what you need to do in order to you can first of all use his Twitter popularity against him and gain some followers for yourself to increase your microphone.
Smart.
See, the president, I did it. Yes. The Smart. President has a microphone. We have microphones. We have a couple microphones. We got more.
They're pretty nice, actually. We got a couple extra.
I like these.
We want guests.
We do. We'll have guests. It's just So
lack of planning.
It's okay. So the president has a microphone, and the only way to amplify his message is for people to retweet it and to just absorb what he says. So here's what we do. First thing, we follow. The next thing, we use some type of tweet bot, like a Twitter streamer of some type, like Tweetbot. And when you see the president's tweet instantly from that, the most effective thing you can do is fact check and contextualize that tweet.
So provide links and actual supporting data.
Supporting data and everything else. And as the trolls come flying in, which they will, the trumpets will blare. Okay?
Loudly and repetitively.
Block them in their replies.
I would argue that it's very important you be very aware of how you're blocking somebody and why you're blocking someone, because while it's effective to remove those people who detract from conversation, it's important to not block somebody who simply has a different opinion than yours.
Right. Not because it's an opinion, but because they're parroting an opinion.
Right.
Without giving any additional context or content.
No talking heads. We want people with opinions.
Right.
That's right.
And I can get in an argument with someone all day. No problem. No issue. Mm-hmm. As long as they bring something to the conversation.
Right.
If all they're bringing is, you're an idiot, you don't understand what Del Fuhrer says.
Do your research.
Yeah, do your research. He's the president. Get over it. Shut up, simple snowflake. Okay, if you start your conversation with me with shut up, simple snowflake, you lost me already.
Yep.
Because you're the snowflake at that point. Yeah. All right. So once you sift through the replies and get rid of those people, they will be blocked from responding to you again. That's the great part.
So you filter them out of the conversation.
You filter them out of your conversation forever. So when you reply, they're gone, and keep doing it.
Never stop.
Okay. So you're basically increasing your amplification on your microphone, and you're diminishing those trolls that all they do is they go up on CNN and say you're fake news.
Fake news.
That's all they do. Fake news.
If I may add. Kind of in the vein of something we discussed last week, which is the idea of information overload. Yes, it's important to keep doing this and do it consistently, but if you feel it's too much, stick to those couple of topics that you're knowledgeable on.
One topic.
Pick one or two topics. You know, have your research, have your facts, you know, do your Google Now notifications on news articles that are coming up on these things. And refute those statements from our president.
Absolutely.
Without bogging yourself down on the things.
If you are interested in women's issues, follow women's issues. Make sure that you hit women's issues.
Look for those hashtags.
Hey, this week, you know, nothing but, you know, and what was it? What was the
Nevertheless, she persevered.
That's right. Elizabeth Warren is one
of those heroes.
Senator Warren's amazing. She really, again, real American heroes don't wear capes.
That's right.
And she is one of them this week. All right. So do that. So you can use the president's megaphone to get your message across.
Let him be a springboard.
Let him help you.
That's right.
You know, because he knows great people, and you can be one of those great people he knows. Thank you, Twitter.
That would be a wonderful thing to do. There was also, in the same vein, Beatrice King.
Yes, the daughter of Martin Luther King Jr.
Made quite a wonderful statement recently, and the Revolutionary found this. I really love this because it's kind of in the same idea. You know,
it's funny. It's something we've been doing, and when you go through the 10 of these, we've these are things we have been stating pretty much the whole time. Yeah. We can check all these boxes off. The first one is use his name sparingly. When this first came out, it actually said something different, and the link that we'll post in the show notes will, you know, in our notes that we'll eventually post. she stated on there, don't use his name.
The president like just, is fine.
And yeah. She said the president or 45 is enough. That's
45.
All she said.
I like 45.
Yeah, 45.
That's good.
But then she said, now wait a second. Regardless of your belief, you need to, you know, you can use the name as a tactic.
Right.
Okay, to bring attention to the fact that this is the president.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so President Trump.
And I feel that, you know, if you're going to be intelligent about it and mm-hmm. thoughtful in the way in which you do this, it's wonderful to do it to bring light to his actions.
Right.
As opposed to policy questions.
Exactly.
You know, like issues of debate, you don't have to bring up his name. But the moment it's our president did this thing.
Correct.
Then, yeah, bring up his name to make it an actual issue of point.
Absolutely.
Around him.
Right. All right, so you take the even ones.
Okay, cool. So this is a really important one, and this is one we were actually discussing a minute ago.
Yeah.
It's important to remember that this is a regime, and he is not acting alone.
So you can't just say that the president did this, and that this is happening.
It requires a supporting cast. Remember, we have a Republican majority Congress.
Absolutely.
They're proposing things, and he's probably signing off on them or working with them to do so, and vice versa. He's going to propose legislation, and my guess is they're going to be perfectly happy working with him on those legislations if they get their 2 cents back.
Of course. Well, it's going to be the pork farmers of America at that point.
Of course. Yeah.
All kinds of pork. So number three. Do not argue with those that support him and his policies. It doesn't work. I can speak on this from so many levels of personal experience lately. Last night, I had to remind a Japanese American that there were internment camps.
History provides such wonderful context.
I mean, the individual was like, well, you know, you don't understand what's going on. You know, he has our best interests in mind. And I said, well, you know, that's what they thought when they created internment camps for the Japanese. And he went, well, that's not the same thing. And then he just stopped talking about
yeah.
it because he realized that it is the same thing, singling out a group and saying you want them either not here or them to be in a place. So there
it's,
you go.
I mean, and unfortunately, that's the confirmation bias kind of thing, which
Absolutely.
Is to say, well, if it's not me, then it's not a problem.
Yeah, confirmation bias is, for those of you that don't know, when no matter what information you give someone, it strengthens their position.
Yeah, they can twist it and run
over
there
and
hear.
And it's funny because it happened so many times in one of my posts today. And all my posts lately have been public. I've been making sure that anything I do that's political is public. I do have private posts, but if you are a person who does not who doesn't follow me or is not a friend of mine, there are rules, then you can still look me up if you can find my name, and you can go ahead and figure out, you know, and go through my own personal stuff on Facebook, and all of these people are blasting themselves publicly.
Right.
Because I don't think we should hide any of that, because all of the racism, sexism, and, you know, the propaganda and all those other things that are there need to be put on blast with a human being's name attached to them.
I agree. It should be transparent who parrots these ideas.
Right.
And then you have the idea of those social circles that get trapped within themselves.
Yeah, so, the echo chambers.
So they all hear their own spoutings off, but we don't mm-hmm. necessarily hear them because we're not part of that echo chamber.
Right.
So yeah, let's make it public. Let's get it out there. I mean, if you truly believe in what you're saying and you truly think there's no reason to hide it, you wouldn't be hiding it. That's right.
No.
If you truly think that it's okay, you're not going to hide what you have to say. That's why I'm here now,
right,
putting this out to the internet for everyone to see.
Yeah. I started this podcast for that reason, because I don't think that, I mean, on Facebook, you're seeing my face, you know, our faces. But when you're hearing our voices, there is no reason to be afraid of saying what we say. If the minute we quiet our voices,
right,
is the moment that they win.
Correct.
Whoever the they is.
That
ethereal they are.
It may not be this administration.
No.
Who knows? But
no. But
back to the list.
But when we're both in the gulag, I would like a sunny side cell, please.
I like Western facing. I like the sunsets.
Oh, there you go. I would like the sunrises, please.
Number four in this list. It is important to focus on the policies themselves, not his appearance and perceived mental state.
Correct.
Which is important because the moment you start to say, our crazy president, our angry president, our whatever president, when you start to add these qualifiers.
His tiny hands.
His tiny hands. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. The people on the other side immediately stop listening in the same way that you don't like to hear, you precious snowflake you.
Yes. I hate that.
It's important to be fair and to do our best not to demean somebody.
Right.
Just because you don't like their message.
Yep. Number five, keep your message positive. We have said that from the beginning.
We're trying.
Always stay positive. Those who oppose peace and justice want the country to be angry and fearful because that is the soil from which their darkest policies will grow. That is such a beautiful turn of phrase.
That's wonderfully written.
You know, so try and be positive. I always try and when someone's arguing with me, I always try and tell them, it's like, look, I like the fact that we can discuss this.
Yeah, it's great.
That we're having a conversation, that we haven't resorted to, you know, to just whatever, that we are having a disagreement of ideology, that we can still be people that are talking as people.
Mm-hmm. In the end, we respect each other as individuals.
Correct.
And we can agree that different opinions are okay.
Right. I don't agree with your opinion. You don't agree with my opinion, but that's perfectly fine. We just disagree. There's nothing wrong with we can go have a drink afterwards. We can go hang out afterwards, whatever, but we just disagree. I don't need an echo chamber.
Anecdotally. Yeah. I had an interesting interaction with a client at work, of all places.
Oh, how fun.
Me and a client discussed politics.
Mm.
And
well, that's kind
of
dangerous.
And but that's just it. Like I cannot think of a more inappropriate place to discuss politics.
Right.
And yet it was a civil conversation in which we disagreed.
Good.
And that was okay. And in the end of the day, like, I know that he's going to, like, this is a client of mine that's very, very familiar with me. We like each other. We get along pretty well. So we had that conversation. It was still like, in the end of the day, it's like, this is not going to be an issue later. And that was really encouraging.
That's good.
So that kind of transitions well to the next one, which is to say, we need to stop with this talk of hopelessness, helplessness. Yes, I understand that some people may be more privileged than others. And I certainly probably fit that bill for a lot of people, young white man that I am.
Yeah.
But in the end, we have to have some level of faith in the system that we have, in this wonderful country that we live in.
Absolutely.
There is a system. There is a checks and balances. Things can change. And what it takes is you going out and doing something about it.
Correct. So no hopeless talk. No, it's like, oh, no, I can't. I just can't even anymore. We talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's right. We mentioned that last week.
I mean, it's on the information overload. It's like, it's just hopeless. I can never keep up with it. No, that's not true. You're fine. Okay? There's hope. All right. We will get through it. All right. Number seven on this list is support artists and the arts. Today, walking down the halls of the university were photographs of our president's face.
Oh, very good.
With resist. And then the next one to it said, I am always watching.
Oh,
big and brother. Then resist. And then I am always watching. And artists during the times of strife need support. Okay. They need to keep going. And so support artists and art, because that is the way that we can focus our emotions. Art is there to create an emotional response.
Art is there to inspire us in ways that maybe you couldn't put to words.
Correct.
It's an expression that sometimes gives us that drive. Local artists in particular, they tend to be the ones that are a little more vocal. They have a lot less to lose or to worry about. They don't have to appease a crowd. They can make a message be heard.
Right.
Number eight, this is something that we are doing
Notice we didn't say who that article was from.
Right.
That didn't have accurate information on it that was being quoted by our president.
Correct. It's very important that we make sure to not ever spread fake news.
Correct.
And the first thing you can do, the first step is when you, and it's just like clickbait. Everybody knows what a clickbait headline looks like now. If you see that, odds are you're not clicking it.
Right.
If you see a news article that has a headline that sounds a little too perfectly sensationalist, a little too virulent, a little too extreme, odds are the headline is not the actual content of the article, and the article itself is probably an opinion piece.
Absolutely.
Or not founded in fact.
Well, my favorite is when opinion pieces masquerade as news.
Oh, I love the headlines. Or headlines, a statement, but it's an opinion piece.
Right.
I love it.
And then you go through it and it's like, there's nothing, you know, there's nothing at all. There's no meat to it at mm-hmm. all. Mm-hmm. It's completely opinion. And you look into the author and it's like, oh, this is a person who, you know, the when Betsy DeVos was going through her groundbreaking confirmation. Thank you, Mike Pence.
Historical.
I'm sorry.
Historical.
Fuck, I did it. I said Mike Pence.
Well, that's not
Vice
the,
President.
That's
Mike
not. The, oh, it is the Vice President.
He is the fucking Vice President. All right,
drop the ball there, sir.
I did drop the ball. All right, so I
wasn't going to call you out on it. But
that's
I guess,
okay.
I guess
no. Hey, if we're gonna stay
he is
true,
the President of the Senate.
He is the President of the Senate, and he did break the tie, going 51-50. I mean, 51-50 is what? What is 51-50? Do you know what 51-50 is?
I don't.
It is the. it is. The call sign for police, which is for a crazy person, 5150.
That's hilarious.
So I think it's hilarious that the breaking of the tie was 5150.
There.
It's I mean it's irony and poetry.
The poetry. So it are we gonna save our shotguns for the end of the podcast?
Yeah, we'll save it for the end
of
the podcast.
Okay. We don't want to put the delay.
We have
in
to
the
find a piece
here.
Of no. So number 9 is take care of yourself. Okay. Take care of yourself. I mean that's a big one, by the way.
It kind of goes back to the overwhelming feeling of helplessness and
I mean, continue to go out and see the sunshine. Continue to go out and do your daily workouts and eat right and exercise and smile and be with your families and do all the things you do. Don't allow this all to just consume you. And we'll let that be our job.
That's right. That's what we're here for.
Because,
also,
because I love doing this. This is like one of my favorite things to do in the world is just look at this stuff and look deeply and argue about it and have a good time.
And truly come to an understanding. And hopefully our hard work can help you in a little bit less time and a little bit less effort.
Sift
come to
this,
come to an understanding,
right?
And we'll be publishing. We haven't been publishing our notes, but we're going to put links up. We'll have it all for you.
Yeah, that'll all be up at onemanrevolution.org.
That's right. Check the website out.
Yeah.
So, finally, this is the most important: resist.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, keep demonstrations peaceful, you know, in the immortal words of John Lennon. And I love how she quotes John Lennon. When it gets down to having to use violence, then you're playing the system's game. You know, the establishment will irritate you, pull at your beard, flick at your face to make you fight. Because once they've got you violent, then they know how to handle you.
Look at the protests at the college last
week. That's right. The only way, the only thing that they don't know how to handle is nonviolence and humor.
There you go.
I mean, laugh at them. Nothing pisses someone off more than when you're like, really? That's you honestly believe that? Oh, that's ridiculous. All right. Explain it to me like I'm a 6-year-old so that I can understand it because obviously I'm missing something.
Right.
And go. And then they can't do it.
It's like when somebody gives you a joke and you go, oh, I don't understand why that's funny.
Oh, yeah, especially something racist
and just watch
or
them,
sexist.
Yeah, sexist or racist.
Hey, man,
just watch them freeze.
Hey, comrade.
Hey.
What do you call a woman that flies a plane?
A pilot?
Ah, fuck. All right, yeah, that's true. All right, so these are my favorite jokes. All right, so just remember that. When you resist nonviolently. They don't know what to do. I mean, one of the biggest arguments that are being used against the social justice warriors and the liberals and the libtards and everyone else that they keep saying is Berkeley.
Yeah.
Even though that was, you know, Milo's tour.
Well, just like John Lennon was getting at, they know how to push our buttons. They know what they can do to take us off.
Absolutely.
And you have a homosexual man who goes around in parades with hate speech,
right?
In such a way as it can get publicized.
Sure.
He can go into college campuses and push his propaganda.
Right.
Now we have these frankly naive children.
That's all you can say. I'll call them. Yeah.
Going out there and acting out and without understanding that an organized, consistent voice is a much more effective method. You want to protest? Stand outside with signs.
Absolutely.
Make it difficult for somebody who wants to hear this man's hate speech. Get inside and listen. But don't make it so that we violate the First Amendment.
That's true. And so, you know, we have shotguns to do.
We have shotguns.
Well, I have a shotgun to do.
I made it through this week.
You made it through this week without one. That's absolutely true. You know, so I would like to leave you guys with make sure that you subscribe to the podcast. You can do that on iTunes through the iTunes directory. It's been in there for over 10 years. It's been in there for 2005, for 12 years. So it's been in there forever. It's up on Google Play.
That's right. Google Play Music.
Google Play Music on One Man Revolution. If you can't get it there, come to the website. It's onemanrevolution.org.
You can download the direct
file. Download the direct file. There's no problem doing
it. If you want low quality audio, check out the Facebook page.
Yeah, the Facebook page, because it's up on the camera. If you, you know, come in and listen to us on the camera.
And all the videos we post back on the page after the fact, you can listen in.
And the Facebook page is, of course, facebook.com/OMR podcast. I decided to shorten it because One Man Revolution podcast is too long. For Facebook's
nobody wants to type that in.
Yeah, no one ever is going to type that in. So that's that. I know I have some royalty free music I can play while we close out the podcast. Maybe we could read. Oh, there we go.
Oh, there it is.
It's Cool Strutton from Purple Planet. Actually,
should I get real close to the mic here?
Yeah, I know. Go down low. Hey guys, how's everybody doing? So yeah, so we'll close the podcast out with Remember. That only takes one man to make a difference, and resist.
Don't lose hope.
Don't lose hope at all.